what? Get your Bibles and let's go to Psalm 91 for a minute. We'll jump right in. I believe we can preach after praying there. Psalm 91. If you're glad you're here, say amen. Amen. I know it's Wednesday. We're tired. And I know I'm tired and I know you're tired. Sister Debbie asked me coming in, she said, you ready to preach? And I said, are you ready to hear it? It's a question. And she did like this right here. So, amen, I'm ready and she's ready. I hope the rest of us are ready this evening to get what God has for us. We're in Psalm 91. And if you want to, if you're able and can, if you can, it's fine. But stand with us. We'll read this psalm again tonight, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time covering a lot of the ground we've already covered. We've done that each time we preached, and I do that on purpose, and I know I don't get everything the first time I hear somebody preach something, and so as we break some of these messages down, we kind of use the, amen, first 20 minutes or so to rehearse and drive some of them truths back into our heart. And so I won't spend a whole lot of time doing that tonight. I don't know how long, how far we'll make it, but we'll just see what the Lord has for us tonight. The Bible said in verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. And listen to these closing three verses where the psalmist says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. What a psalm. You can be seated tonight. We've been studying Psalm 91 as a significant psalm of the scripture, well familiar, especially the first verse. It's probably one of the most well-known verses in all the psalms. We understand and believe in our study, and as we preached it, that Moses is the one who has penned this, and that the scene would be that in the wilderness wanderings of Israel, as the tabernacle and instructions for the building of it have been given to Moses. It's now been set up in the mode of worship and all the traditions and the laws and the regulations that have been delivered to Moses, have now been instituted and put in place, and they're enjoying that religious system of worship of Jehovah God. And we've been studying this psalm in light of Moses taking into view all that is going on. Through Scripture, the indication is that Moses had set up his tent in very close proximity to that of the tabernacle, and as thus, it was as though he were in the shadow of that place of worship, the house of God, and in particular, that manifestation of the presence of God that would abide by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. that literally Moses was living in the shadow of the presence of God. He couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. That was the high priest's place. He could only go so far in that mode of religion and the law through the commandments that God had set up. But that did not mean that Moses did not know what it was to walk with God in a very personal way. And so with that in mind, we look at verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so here is Moses believing that, amen, he has a personal and close in proximity relationship to God in his life on a personal level. And so we've been looking at this psalm just dealing with the subject of living under the shadow of God. Living under the shadow of God, walking close to God, living your life, dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Now Moses wasn't a man that was always praying. He's got a lot of things to do through the course of the day. But in all that he does through the course of the day, he is living his life under the shadow of God. Every decision he has to make, he is making it under the shadow of God. Moses in his life had many things maybe that he enjoyed doing. But no matter what he was doing, he never lost sight of the fact that he could live under the shadow of God. And so we're looking at Psalm 91, have been looking at it, and dealing with some truths we could pull out of this psalm about our relationship to the Lord in light of that thought of being near the secret place, being near in relationship with the Lord, walking so near and dear and close to Him. And so we looked at verses 1 through 6, the portrayal of the secret place, and we looked at how Moses portrays that to you and I. It's a sacred place, sheltering place, saving place, shielding place. And ultimately, Moses found that it was a settling place. And oh, what a place it is. And oh, to dwell in the secret place and to live under the shadow of God, the manifestations that it brings in our life and grounding us in the life that we live. And so we've seen the portrayals. We looked at the protections in the secret place, verses 7 through 10, protection for your falling, your fellowship, and your family. And what a blessing those truths were as we studied those. We looked at the preparations of the secret place, verses 11 through 13, how that we look at those verses, the truths concerning the angels and the adversary, and how that there is a ministry that God allows the secret place to be to you and I. It's there. We're interested in the ways of God. We're interested in the direction the Lord would set for our life. But in doing so, it is preparing us, Brother Jack, for the attacks that the adversary is going to bring our way. He's going to even maybe use some truths from this very text that calls you and I to tempt the Lord our God and to stray from the path and the plan that God has for us. But as we live in the shadow of God and dwell in that secret place, we are prepared to have victory and to conquer over our foe. And so we looked at, we're prepared there for the temptations by Satan. We're prepared for the trickery of Satan. And we are prepared for the triumph over Satan, our adversary, as we see in verse number 13. Now this brings us to where we ended on last week, the promises of the secret place. And we found that in the opening verses, as we read it tonight in our hearing, at the first 13 verses, Moses is speaking about the God of the secret place. He's talking about the shadow of God and the presence of God. And what God is, what God has provided for you and I as we live our lives in that close proximity to Him on a daily basis. And when we come to verses 14 through 16, we find that now the tune changes or the voice changes, and now it's no longer Moses necessarily speaking, but it is God speaking about about the man in the secret place. And so verses 1 through 13, it is Moses, the man, speaking about God. But in verses 14 through 16, it is God speaking about the man Moses. And what a blessing that is that God, listen, it is not just Moses that is excited about the God of the secret place, but it is God excited about the man that has entered into the secret place. And it's as if God says, Moses, you've been talking long enough, and you've been talking about me. Now let me say something about, amen, those that would dare enter into the shadow of God. And so as the Lord speaks, He declares promises here that are entailed in the lives of those that live in this secret place. God is stating what the rewards are going to be. Amen. For those that just won't live on the outskirts and live on the edge of the boundaries of the wilderness, but that will draw near to the shadow and the presence of God and dwell there and abide there in relationship to the Lord. And so we found it is only when one learns what it is and what it truly is to live under the shadow of God that we find the reality of these promises. These are not promises made to the carnal man. These are not promises made to every child of God. And we see that even as we uncovered some things last week. I'll hit them just briefly here for just a moment. But, amen, before we do, understand that God is making these promises to those, amen, that have forsaken themselves and forsaken the world and my friend, have forsaken sins in their life that have been besetting them, that they might draw near to God. And we know from the New Testament that if any man will draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to him. And I think that's what the Lord is saying here. The man that has paid the price, and the man that is drawn near to live under the shadow of God, God is saying, let me draw nigh now, Moses, and bring some things to pass by way of promises in your life. And so we embarked on some considerations here in these verses about these promises. And we looked at last week the condition for the promises as we find what it would really look like to be living under the shadow of God. I think the Lord, amen, tells you and I what that would look like. Amen, we're not there just because we say we're there. Amen, God paints a picture through these last three verses of the conditions that would be met if one was truly living under the shadow of God. And so it involves our passion. It involves passion. Amen. He said, first of all, the Lord speaking, because He has set His love upon me. And so it has to do with us loving God. Amen. The condition that must be met to receive these promises of the secret place is that our love has been cast upon the Lord. And we, my friend, in this place have fulfilled the greatest of the commandments that we truly are loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. And we have set our love upon Him. We said last week means to cling, cleave, or join, to bind, or to attach. And simply means to delight in. It deals with where we place our affections. As we have been commanded in the New Testament, Colossians 3 and in verse number 2, that we are to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And so, my friend, when we are truly loving God as we should be, we are meeting that condition for these promises. And this setting of our love upon Him is a description in Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8 of how God has set His love upon us. And so some would say, and it's a wonderful question, how do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, and soul? How do I set my love upon Him? Amen. Well, He has set the pattern to you and I. Amen. He is the one that has set His love upon us, and we take the love He has set upon us and we reciprocate that back to the Lord. You say, preacher, do you have Bible for that? I sure do. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. And that is us taking the love He has given to you and I and reciprocating that back to Him. Amen. This is you and I in doing an intentional act displayed by a passionate action. Amen. Loving God enough that we would keep His commandments. Amen. That we would walk in His ways. These promises are not for those who say they love God, but that show they love God. Amen. And so passion, I'll not re-preach all that. Amen. But that was the first condition. Amen. Not only does it involve passion, but it involves a pursuit. Amen. He said, not only because he has set His love upon me, He said here, because He hath known my name. He has pursued the knowledge of who I am. That's what the Lord is saying. To know Him is to know Him here by instruction, by designation, by observation, and by great care. And did Moses know the name of God? You better believe he did. He used it four times, four different names for God in the opening two verses of this psalm. Amen. He knows God as the Almighty. He knows Him as the Most High. He knows Him as the Lord, and He knows Him as God. And so He has known, He has pursued a knowledge of who God is. And so if we're going to meet the condition of the promises that God makes here, amen, to enjoy in the secret place, my friend, to live under the shadow of God is to meet that condition that we are pursuing, amen, who God is. Amen. And we'll never know that even throughout all eternity. We'll never know all there is to know about God. Amen. But those that are living under the shadow of God have at least, amen, began a pursuit of who God is. It involves our passion. It involves our pursuit. But it involves our prayer. He said in verse number 15, He shall call upon me. And so to live under the shadow of God is to meet a condition that, my friend, we are seeking and calling upon God in prayer. Amen. This condition is not only met by a consistent life of prayer, but communion with God. Communion with God is to live under the shadow of the Almighty and to tap into that life of faith whereby, by prayer, we are communicating to God that I believe You and I am trusting You and I am depending upon You. And so it involves our prayer. Let's look tonight at some new ground, not only the condition of these promises, but the consolation of these promises. And in verses 14 and 15 in particular is what I'm interested in. I find that there are four, I call them blessed assurances, that console the heart that is ran to the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. What is God assuring you and I of that we will find living under the shadow of God? Amen. Well, can we say, number one, that God promises that He will hide Him. He will hide Him. Look with me again in verse number 14, where the Bible said, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. Here's my phrase now. The Lord said, I will set Him on high. I will set Him on high. And so God is stating that He will hide Him. That is, God's statement here is, I will pick Him up, I will lift Him higher than He is able to go in Himself, and I will lodge Him in a very, very high place. Amen. In fact, the word high, if you'll do a word study on it, Jeremy, it means this. It means literally to make inaccessible. Amen. To place someone in an inaccessible place. Amen. He is saying, I'm going to lift him to a place that the enemy cannot get to him. I'm going to place him so high, amen, that he's going to be there. And the indication of the word high and the phrase, I will set him on high, amen, in this inaccessible place, it has with it the sense of being in safety and in strength. And God said, I will set him on high. He is saying he is going to be lodged there. I kind of get the idea. He's lifting him to a high rock. Do you remember what the psalmist David said? Amen. When he said that he prayed to the Lord, he said, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. I believe in my mind when I hear the Lord say, I will set him on high, that God is saying, I will hide him in a very high rock. I will place him in a place that, amen, will be inaccessible to the enemy. Amen. God knows where he is. God has put him there. Amen. God can get to him, but God has hid him. Amen. In a refuge of strength and grace, and amen, a place of safety and a place of strength. Amen. It's almost as if God is saying, amen, even though you live under the shadow of God, there's going to be times, amen, you feel like you're being bombarded on every side. Amen. You're going to feel like that you're sinking low. You're going to feel like you can't go on. You're going to feel like you're exposed on every side. God said, it's in that moment, if you have run to me and you have been living under my shadow and you've been seeking my face and you've been loving me and you've been pursuing to know more of me and you know of anything else in this life, amen, you can rest assured that in your battle, I will reach further down than you can reach up, and I will set you higher, amen, than you could ever claw your way to. Amen, what a promise tonight that God will hide. Amen, you and I, if we will live under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I'm glad Moses knew he needed this. And Moses knew his God would be this to him. And so did each of the other psalmist writers, many of them. Amen. These very few psalms, in fact, do not, in speaking about God, reference him as a rock, as a refuge, as a fortress, as a buckler, as a shield, and in some, amen, some sort of symbol and picture, amen, that God is the one that hides you and I. Amen. And I know sometimes spiritually, amen, especially maybe when everything's going well, amen, we feel like we're 100 foot tall and devil proof. And my friend, nothing will bring us down. And ain't it amazing how quick all that can change? Amen. In the blink of an eye, in the waking of a day. Amen. You can go from I mean, just feeling like you are a more than conqueror that you really are. Amen. To feeling, my friend, one day like your brains are getting beat out of your head. Amen. But I'm glad even in them times I ain't a belly aching and ache. Amen. I want to brag on my God and say thank God. Amen. My God has made a promise to those that, amen, is a blessed assurance in our heart. Amen. That if we have been walking with Him, amen, He is promising, I will hide you. I will set you on high. Amen. When you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you can't handle, amen, the heat of the battle is just being directed your way. Amen. I have a place I will set you and secure you. Amen. In a safe place, in a place of strength, I will hide him, God says. What a consolation. Amen. Let me give you at least number two and we'll see. Amen. We'll see if we can get this and preached out. God will hide him, he says, number one. Number two, I want to say God promises, I will hear him. I will hear him. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 15. It's actually greater than I will hear him, but amen, he can't answer us until he hears us. And so, Amen. For the sake of our alliteration and the outline, he said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Amen. And again, before he can answer us, the assurance is, Brother Mag, that he will hear us when we pray. Amen. What an assurance tonight. Amen. I will answer him. It implies that God will give a response. Amen. There's going to be a response from God to the one who has made his abode in the presence of God. Amen. God will respond. Now that response, that answer, amen, it's all again conditioned upon him hearing us. Amen. Sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no, and sometimes he answers wait a while. Is that right? Amen. And may I say, no is as much an answer as yes is. Amen. We don't regard that. We don't embrace that as an answer. We're a bunch of petulant little children many times. Amen. That when mom and dad say no, we just think they didn't understand really what we was asking. And if we ask it a different way, amen, surely they'll say yes. Amen. But the promise here is not that God will give you everything you want. Amen. It's not that God is going to answer in the affirmative everything you have prayed about. That God will give a response. Amen. And no is sometimes hard to take. Amen. And we shout when he says yes. Amen. But I tell you, you about go out of your mind when God says, just wait. I'll get back with you on that. Amen. But wait is still an answer from the Lord. I don't know why I'm bogging down here. It ain't even in my notes. Amen. Other than to say that God is promising, amen, that he is going to hear and respond to, amen, our calling upon him. Amen. Can you imagine what it would be like? Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a system of worship and worshiping a God who did not have ears to hear? And you imagine praying all the time, and there are many religions that do. And you pray all the time, and you spend hours a day praying to a God who cannot hear, much less answer. And my friend, give your life to that system. And yet you and I, as children of God, we have a God that, amen, he has ears and he does hear that. And he does answer and he does respond it. And what a blessing that is to you and I this evening. Amen. To know that our God will hear us. Now let me run some references. Hold your place here. And let's see. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, I believe it is. And let me give you one verse here and one out of Isaiah. Maybe we'll wind down tonight. Amen. And I'm doing the best I can with what I got this evening physically, but amen. Watch this. Jeremiah 29 and in verse number 13. Look in verse number 12. Amen. And 13. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. And I like this. I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And so what a blessed cross-reference we have here, amen, to the promise that God is making in Psalm 91 and verse 15, that, my friend, he will hear you and I. And, my friend, there are definite times in our life when we need God to show up, where we need God to hear and have a listening ear to what we are going through and what we need from our God. And so God said that when this man meets the condition and he begins to turn from all of his own wisdom and from all of his own strength and all of his own experience, and he begins to turn to God and seek God with all his heart, amen, he is dependent upon the Lord. The Lord said, I'll not leave that child to himself. I won't leave that child to his own ways. I won't leave him to his own condition to make it the best way that he can. Amen. God said, I will hear his cry. Amen. When tears are coming out of it down his cheeks. Amen. From a broken heart and from what he's going through. Amen. God said, mark it down. I will hear. I will hearken when you pray. I will turn to you. I will be there to meet you. Amen. What a blessed assurance we have from the Lord tonight. Amen. Again, I'm glad when I pray, I know my God hears me. Amen. There've been some times I've got down to pray and he wouldn't listen to me. Amen. Cause I had sin in my life. Amen. Wasn't right with my brothers and my sisters or my spouse or, amen, wasn't right in some area. Amen. And all I could get out of that prayer time was you need to go make it right. Amen. And you need to go get that thing squared away. Amen. But when I'm living under the shadow of God and when I'm walking with God like I know I'm supposed to be, amen, I can pray going down the road and know God hears me. I can roll up in a secret place and know that God hears me. Amen. I can meet God up there at my rock altar on the mountain and know that my God is hearing me. Amen. What a blessed promise that God will hear that man or that woman living under the shadow of God. Amen. Let me show you one more verse. I run some cross references, a lot we could use tonight. Amen. But look in Isaiah 58. This will be a blessing, be a good place maybe to wind down. Amen. We talk about the consolation of these promises. God will hide us and God will hear us. In Isaiah 58, look with me in verse number 9. Amen. Look in verse 8. We can't just do one verse, can we? Amen. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and then health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now, let me pause here for just a moment. Let me make connection to Psalm 91 and our thought, living under the shadow of God. What was that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? It was the glory of the Lord. It was the glory of the presence of God. Ronnie, it was, amen, it was God's shining, beaming manifestation, amen, manifesting glory that, amen, was leading the way before the children of God. Amen. And as they walked with God and they, amen, they feared God and they lived for God and, amen, God was there. Amen. I think that's the theme of Isaiah 58 and verse number 8. Amen. 58 verse number 8, he said, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Amen. He's saying you'll be living under the shadow of God. You'll be close to his glory. Amen. Now watch verse number 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Is that not what God promised in Psalm 91:15? Amen. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And so the Lord is saying here, reaffirming that promise, amen, then shalt thou call and the Lord shall answer. Amen, but it gets even better. He said, thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been burdened down, crying and broken about something and take it to God and get down to pray and say, oh God. And hear that voice from heaven say, here I am. If I had energy right now, I'd jump up on that communion table and scream and shout and bless the Lord. How many times have I gone to God and say, Lord, can't even Brother Jack get out what I'm going through. And the Lord say, here I am, son. I'm right here. Say, I need to know if God is with me or not. Amen. God is promising if we will walk with Him, amen, walk a path of righteousness, amen, live in close proximity to His presence and His shadow. He said that day when you really need me and your heart is broken, amen, that day when your back is against the wall and you don't know what to do, amen, and all you can do is groan and all you can do is, amen, weep and cry and say, dear God, dear God, dear God, God said, amen, that's what I'm interested in and I will answer you. Amen. And how I answer you is with that, amen, that assurance that I am with thee. Amen. Here I am. I'm glad. I'm glad. Amen. Tonight that we have a promise. Amen. That God will hear him. Amen. God will hear her that my friend is sold out all the way with God. Amen. You can have more than a casual prayer life. Amen. You can do more than just say prayers. Amen. When you're tapped into the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Lord said that day you call and that day you cry. That day that you're weeping, that day you don't know what you're going to do. Amen. Them days that the devil makes you think that God is even so far and disinterested in you. And when you begin to pray, you're going to find out that I am there with you. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, I've gone to prayer calls in a many a time. Amen. A lot of time and most of the time by myself, only to find I ain't been by myself. Amen. That God is there. Amen. God is there. That's why, Brother Tim, the Lord said when you go to pray and you enter into your closet, He said, shut the door. Amen. You don't need anybody else when you know that God is there. Amen. And when you go and you pray and you're all alone and you're pouring your heart out to God, amen, no matter what it is, just to know that God said, I'm going to tell you I'm hearing you just by simply saying, here I am. Amen. A lot of folk have no idea what I'm even talking about. They live their life by such emotion and worldly driven passions. They don't know what it is to live under the shadow of God. And I'm not beating nobody down. I feel sorry for folk. So I'm telling you, I have learned that God's promises in this regard are an absolute, teetotal reality in the life of God's children. Amen.